Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for what's been happening. Looks like you're getting them all rounded up, Lord. Big long lists of all the people that have tried to sell out this country for money. And Father, we thank you for doing that, getting rid of them, taking them out, starting over. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon President Trump and his family and his cabinet. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels are all about him, his cabinet, protecting him from all sorts of nefarious people out there that would love to take him out. We praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in this fellowship here. I believe, Lord, that we're going to go into some things tonight that would help a lot of people. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you for answering all of our prayers, too, Lord. We know that we've got to shoot right straight up to the throne. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for rounding up every one of them. I thank you, Lord, for helping them straighten out this justice system where we've got these liberal judges that don't have any regard for the Constitution. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, even down to the county level, city level. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that at some point in time that Trump would require every judge to go back and revisit the Constitution and have a teaching on it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And they'd have to pass a test in order to be a judge anymore. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? I just saw talking about that. I just saw one of the J6ers. His name was, I think his name was Stuart, Stuart, and they had sentenced him to 18 years in the prison, and Trump commuted his sentence rather than give him a pardon, and don't understand that because commute is still the felony still hangs on him. But we'll see what happens. They're gonna. I think they're fixing to do a class action suit against the J6 committee. Well, that would be awesome. Okay, Lord, we thank you for righting all the wrongs. There's still a few of them still in prison too. Thank you, Lord, for setting them all free that are not guilty. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I spoke to my mom and dad today, and my dad was supposed to have a colonoscopy today, and he apparently wasn't cleaned out like they wanted him to be. So they're going to do it tomorrow, and they're giving him a double dose of this stuff he has to drink. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that everything's going to go fine tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, that everything's going to go fine. With Dad having to drink this stuff, Lord, being weak to the weak, Lord, and that Dad will not have any accidents, considering what it does to you. And I thank you, Lord, for putting peace and rest in mom and dad's both their hearts, and that when he has this done tomorrow, everything will go fine, and they won't find anything. It's just a routine, but they won't find anything because my dad has a healthy digestive system, in Jesus' name. It's healthy plumbing. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're
Sometimes
welcome.
it's best not to go into detail. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Oh, that is some nasty tasting stuff, though. Whew. All right. Who's next? Yeah. Who's next? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just listened to David Eales on a How Shall We Die, the first video. And then I watched that video about the power of words and stuff. So it puts you in a position where you're sort of examining yourself much more now. So I want to pour out a prayer. Father God, you also have a wonderful praise song that was from the 1500s, Be Thou Our Vision. And Father, in the faith of this vision, Father, we pray, Father, that sometimes we are reminded of things. And we ask our Father to keep these studies in our hearts and minds as we go about our day. And Father, remind us wonderfully that we have to give up our lives to live the new life that you have given us and called us to. We ask, Father, that there's lots of words nowadays and in the news and from people just around us that we realize that not all people are Christian and don't want to behave Christian-like. And even though they have some sort of Christian past, and Father, that would keep us in and lead us and guide us in our daily walk and our daily interactions with everything. Because even if you don't, if some of us are even retired, it's still the things that come into our minds sometimes, Father. So, Father God, I just wanted to pray this prayer because of what I did just prior to coming on. Help us, Father. Feed us and guide us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, glory be to God. All right, anyone else? I like that song, by the way. All right. Nobody else? Oh, that's a praying bunch. They've already got all their prayers in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for everyone here that's listening, that's on in the fellowship, and the ones that are going to be listening, that we would draw closer to you, closer than we've ever had before, Lord, because the more of you that we have, Lord, the more people we'll be able to affect because of the authority and the power that's evident in those that are close to you, Father. And we praise you. We thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, Julie.
Hey everybody, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I just noticed that the astronauts that were off the space station that they returned about like an hour or so ago. They're back on Earth. There's a conference, press conference going on too. But Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that everyone got home back here safe and sound, Lord, and pray blessings on all of them and reuniting them with all their families and loved ones and getting acclimated to being back down here where there's gravity. That's got to be a weird feeling. And being able to walk again without, falling. I guess that would be really weird getting acclimated. So we just pray blessings on them, God, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that that means for having them up there all that time and that they were brought back safely and how you did that. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. And we love you, Lord. We thank you so much, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, were they really out there? Who knows? They sure made a pretty good landing, didn't they? Out in the ocean. And they had the cameras right there for them, too. Wasn't that just handy? Golly. All right. Well, I'm glad they're safe. They were out there. I'm glad they're safe. Praise God. All right. All right. Who's up next? Who, yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I just had a question. Did they come back to Earth the same way that he lands the boost? I mean, did it come back down and land, or
It came back down on the parachutes and hit the water.
oh, is that one of the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess he hasn't perfected that like he has the booster rockets coming back
Probably.
into Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty neat the way those things do.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I can do that, they'll be able to rig up something for the people too.
Yeah. Bet it's soon coming.
Yep, probably so. If it's really happening, I don't, I'm not saying nothing. Okay, let's see here. Anybody else got something they want to add or subtract or multiply or divide? Go ahead, Teresa. You're muted. There you go.
I just wanted to give that report that
Okay.
what answer prayer that I got a I got an offer for my property in Idaho, and so it's a done deal, and so and the realtor's trying to expedite it, and the guys, the people who are buying it are paying cash, so
Praise God. That's the
yeah.
best way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I will be able to build my cabin. We had already, Jesse, my son, and I had already started on it. So, we had the flooring in, we
Foundation.
had the a 2x4 wall all made and ready to put up. And so I had been taking money out of my Social Security, about $200, a month, and so and buying materials. And so it's just a little bit at a time, but now I can, get it all together.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Teresa. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for getting that money to her quickly, also. Okay. I think Jenny's got some good, song to share with us tonight.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you. Your heartbeat, this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart. Drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace.
I like that song. It's a good song. I'd like to share one too. Y'all mind if I share one? It's actually the one that Andrew mentioned. Do y'all mind? It makes no, never mind.
Play it, Michael.
I'm going to. Trying to download it, I guess. Give it a minute here. You better go on.
I don't see anything yet. It just says that you started. Screen sharing, but we don't
Yeah,
see
no,
any.
it's downloading, it looks like. Sometimes when my bandwidth is a little bit slow. It's takes you a little bit, but this is. Oh, let's see. Hang on just a second. Nothing's happening, but it is. Thank you. No, it's not as fast. Everybody looks like they're froze up. Okay. Wait a minute. Here it comes. I can hear it. I'm going to start it over, please, if you don't mind.
True word.
I love that version. Let me get this shut out. Fixing to go into some. The next one was the old time prayer, praying guy. But I love that verse. Y'all like that? I've sung that when I was a kid, you know, in church. That's an old song. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, this isn't what I wanted, but apparently that song is like super old. My dad, like he found a video. Apparently it was from, well, correct me if I'm wrong, Dad. It was from like the 1500s or something like that. Yeah, really, it's a really good song. Really good message.
Yes, it is.
I just, it's nothing any particular that I wanted to say, but there was just a verse, like before I went to bed last night, I wasn't really able to read a lot. Yesterday, because I got distracted and just like chores and coming back home from my mom's and unpacking and just a verse that really encouraged me before I went to bed last night that I'd really love to share with you guys.
Okay.
First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then in verse 10, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's just, I don't know, it's just something that really pulled into me before I went to bed. Something I took on the next day or today, I guess you could say. And it's something that I'm really looking, I don't know, just really encouraged me. Just thought I'd share it with you guys.
Amen. Could you give me that verse again?
That's 1 Peter 2:9 and 2:10. 11's pretty good too.
Okay. That's the reason I had it wrong. I was in First John. It wasn't going to be the same, is
Oh,
it?
definitely.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, if when you come to a verse and you want to do it, if you'll wait just a minute, let us all get to it so we can read it with you. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. Anybody else? All right. I thought we'd talk tonight about how to get closer to God. I know we've talked about it before, but it seems to be an ongoing thing with some of it. Well, maybe a lot of us, I don't know. But it's how do we draw ourselves closer to God? What can we do in order to reap the benefits of this close relationship with God? Yeah, Ben.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was sanctification before blessing. We got to walk away from our flesh before we can even think about being holy or even think about being perfected, because we can't really be walking in darkness when we're supposed to be in light. Can't have two masters. You can't be in the darkness and the light. The verses aren't coming in my head, but y'all know what they are. I've been reading Sanctification Before Blessing.
One
The
of my
verses
favorite
are,
books.
yeah, the verses are eluding me right now, but that's what came to my head.
Okay.
If you're not walking in the flesh, you're walking in the spirit. I forget where that verse is. I'll find it. I'll come back.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we can go to the next subject. Ben just went ahead and solved the whole thing. Praise God. That was, well, actually, if you read that Sanctification Before Blessing, I've read it a couple of two or three times. It's an awesome book. Like I said, it's one of my favorites. And the biggest thing he talks about is getting rid of the flesh in the world, like Ben was talking about. So how do we do this every day in our day-to-day walk? I know it's easy to say those things, but what is it we have to do? What is it? What should our mindset be in order to walk that close walk with the Lord? Look at that. Look at that girl laughing. Is that Matt up there making funny faces? Yeah. Well, that is a funny face. Oh man. So what is it that would help us to do what Ben was talking about? Yeah, Julie.
Discipline, self-control, power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I try to remember to ask the Lord to fill me every morning with the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, so that I don't get distracted, and and He'll show me what He wants me to do, whether it's just sitting with Him in the morning first thing, or if I'm doing spiritual warfare, or just praying, or if I have to do some domestic, something or whatever, but. It's discipline, and it's by the Spirit. You can't, I can't, I haven't figured out how to do it myself yet. It's just not, it's not possible, because I can get easily distracted.
Amen. So, let me go ahead. I think Ben, you had yours up, didn't you? Go ahead. I'll get back with this in a minute.
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
It always brings me back whenever there's a, this is sort of a topic that we talk about. It's Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In verse 29 there, take my yoke upon you. Matthew 11 and 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And so there's this level of humility that correlates with I guess you could say walking with God. Because Jesus says, if you follow me, you will notice that I'm like this, because we're going to be like that. Yeah, just this level of lowering yourself to the point of discipline, like what Julie was talking about, and integrity, honor. I think the UBM YouTube channel, there's a couple of videos on integrity that just got posted right now. They're very good. I would recommend listening to them. They're very they're easy to listen to. Well, easy to listen to, but hard on the flesh, I guess I could say.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I'd like to thank the Lord that I got to listen to Sunday's lesson. Actually, your website was blocked from me for a while there, so I thank that happened. And but I just wanted to reiterate something here for the end times in Second Peter, if it's okay, because
Yes, sir.
Second Peter 3:3 and 4. Since we we heard a worship song about presence. It brought me to this verse when I was listening to the song, and maybe this is something that's that we have to watch about today, nowadays. Knowing this verse, that in the last of the days, so that's not 24 hours, mockers shall come with their mockery, walking after their own lusts. Now, I don't think these people who are in mockery are outside of what you would call church, but perhaps within the church, because they're saying something here in the next verse and saying, where is the promise of his presence? You know, in Psalm 16:11, it says, thou wilt show me thy path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. For since the fathers fell asleep, including Peter, this father, all things continue thus from the beginning of creation. So it seems like they're going day by day, everything's the same all the time, you know. They're not really attaining anything more. You know, like usually, if you go for a few days without getting something from the Lord, it could be mind-wracking. So you do get things every day, you know, you get little things and sometimes bigger things, but sometimes the smallest of things can get a person going too. And it's just the time we live in, that's all. So I just wanted to bring that up because you know, it seems like this person had a presence once or something at one sort of time. And you know, it goes on after that, you know, and it, you know, it talks about creation and evolution together in the next two verses, and they combine those two, creation and the flood of Noah, and they combine those two and try to destroy that by evolution. Anyways, I always thought it was that, but maybe as you read on, you see some of the things. And of course, when you get to the seventh verse there, it's the biggie. You know, the other ones have already happened. So 3 and 5 and 3 and 6 have already happened, and the mockers do come. It's just a different form of teaching, I think, mockers, and a different form of prophecy. And we need to be ready to be standed and corrected by the Lord. And you know, there's, you hang out with some people for quite a while, you know. What does the verse say? You hang out with a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You hang out with a righteous man, you get a righteous man's reward. And even if you hang out with the person who gives you a nice cold glass of water, you get a reward too. So, of course, the water is the word. So, praise and glory to God.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. Go ahead, Anna.
See if I could say this before she cries here. She's starting to get fussy. I just wanted to point out that the word disciple is really, it's almost like the noun of the word discipline. We just don't say disciple, so we don't, you know, it doesn't sound the same, you know, because we say disciple, but I think that it's called that for a reason, and I think it's really interesting. I think about that a lot, but a lot of it is discipline, you know, that's why it's called disciple, I guess. And the Lord, thank God, he gives us that discipline because some of us maybe weren't raised with it so much as he should have been. But praise the Lord, he has it there available for us.
And that's where it comes in. That discipline comes in, and when you do that discipline, that distraction goes away, doesn't it? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
And you know, with little children, I had little children once too, a long time ago. They're all grown up now. But sometimes, a verse just as simple as the children are saved through the believing parent, that's a discipleship that you're trying to show to the kids in whatever small or big way you do it. So, hey, mommy and daddy, if they're following the Lord, that's something. Even grandpa, because if grandpa starts singing off his song there in church, that little 5-year-old's going to look up at grandpa and he's going to say, he's really serious about this worship song, and just the littlest thing would say, man, I better pay attention or something. So I just mentioning something, hoping that it comforts people anyway. Praise God.
Amen. Anybody else? I remember Lake talking about his experience, and he made a little booklet called The Real Christian. And so I went back in my files and I got this thing out. And there's a lot of good stuff in here that some of it I'd just like to skim over about a real Christian. A Christian is unique. He stands alone. He supersedes all who have gone before. He will not have a successor. He is man at his best and God's best effort for mankind. And think about that one for a minute. When the conception of a Christian has been established within our spirits, as the New Testament establishes the ideal Christian, we'll understand then how it is that men have been ready to abandon all else in the world in order to attain Christ, in order to attain his character, in order to become the possessors of her spirit. And he goes on, talks about some other things there. And then he talks about when he was in South Africa, there were some great mines there that they didn't have. The natives could work, right? So they had to import some people from all over the world. They imported them from China. They imported them from other places, South Africa, not South Africa, other places in the world. And they had all kinds of religion there. And these people had their priests, whatever they call them, there with them. And he said to himself, he said, it dawned on me that here was a possibility that had never come into my life before. If I could get these priests and teachers of the various Eastern religions to come together, we might have an exchange of thought. We would have something accomplished. It would at least give me an opportunity to discuss their beliefs. I was familiar to some extent with the Eastern religions, but I had never any touch with the soul life. So they went ahead and he arranged a little deal there. And to make a long story short, they had Christians speak and they had Buddhists speak and they had, oh, what's some of the other kind of religions? Muslims. And one thing, he said, many times we sat from sundown to sun up, comparing notes and going over the various teachings. He said, it had such an effect on me that I left that series with this conclusion. There is lots of light in the world, and men are groping after the light. Some possess it in a larger degree than others, but all possess it in some degree. And I said to a man as I walked home on the last morning, one thing surely has been demonstrated, and that is that in Jesus Christ, there is a divine life of which, when a man becomes a real possessor, he has a richer appreciation of his power that no other man possesses. And I have been more of a Christian, of a real Christian, from that day than I ever was before. There's no power in the other religions. It's all flesh stuff. But in the Christianity, the true Christianity, there's nothing but sheer power from God. And the way to get that understanding, to utilize that power, he goes on and talks about, is to forget everything else that you do and run after the Lord with all your heart. That's what he says. He says it just, and basically, that's what he said. And he says, I want to relate some incidences that he can't teach in any other way, but just to show you what happened. He said, among my young friends in South Africa were two young men whom I have regarded as the brightest men I have ever known. One was a Boer. His name was Von Schild. This is in South Africa, of course, and you know the Boers were the ones that were over the country for a long time. His name was Von Schild, the son of an old line stock of highly educated Hollanders. The other's name was Kritzmaul, and he had come from a generation of Church of England preachers, and I think his great-grandfather had occupied St. Paul's Church in London, and I believe he had been baptized there. But anyway, he has always stood out in my mind as a sort of counterpart of St. Paul, for if I can comprehend the character of Paul, I think he was more largely duplicated in that man than any other I ever knew. These two men were really the only up-to-date New Thought men I met in Africa. When he's talking about New Thought, he's talking about the full gospel. Okay? He's not talking about the don't believe in the Holy Spirit baptism and all that kind of thing, gospel. He's talking about the full gospel. This guy, Von Schill, began to attend our meetings, and one day when I was not present, came forward out of the audience and knelt at the altar and sought God for the conscious knowledge of his salvation. And bless God, he received it. He sought him with all his heart. He longed for it. He had to have it. And he said, some days after that, when I was present, I was teaching at the afternoon service on the subject of the baptism of the Spirit. Raising up in his seat, he said to me, Lake, do you suppose that if God gave me the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it would satisfy the burning yearning that is in my soul for God? Now hang with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I said, my son, this is Blake talking, my son, I don't know that it would, but I think you would be a long piece on the way. So without more ado, he came forward and knelt, and looking up, he said to me, lay your hands on my head and pray. And as I did, the Spirit of God descended on Von Schild in an unusual manner. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost very wonderfully indeed. He was a transformed man, I tell you. From that hour, that man became the living personification of the power of God. And in all my life, now it's a Lake talking. I have never found a soul through whom such majestic, intense flashes of power would come as through his soul at intervals. And he was not a student of the Word of God. Presently, he disappeared. His father came to me saying, I'm troubled about Harry. He took a Bible and went off into the mountains almost 3 weeks ago. And they tell me he has gone up to such a mountain, long piece off, and I'm afraid he's going insane. Now he took his Bible. I said, "Brother, this is Lake talking. Don't worry yourself. One of these days, he'll come down in the glory and power of God," because I knew that was what was in that fellow's heart. One day, glory to God, one day he returned under such an anointing of the Spirit as I had never before witnessed on any life. That's his Lake talking. He's seen everything, you think. Here was a soul who had never read the words of Jesus. He was a full-grown man, but he said to me, "I have never looked into the Bible unless it was in my childhood. I knew nothing of it." One day after that, he came to me, his face radiant, and said, "Brother Lake, did you know this was in the Bible?" And he proceeded to read to me that familiar verse in 16th chapter of Mark. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils." Mark 16, 17. Looking up into my face with great earnestness, he said, "My, I wish I knew somebody who had a devil." He said, "I believe God had planned," Blake said, "I believe that God had planned that situation, for I was reminded that in my mail a couple of days before had come a request for an insane son." The mother said, "As far as I can tell, my son has a devil." And her request was that we might come and pray that devil might be, that that devil might be cast out. So I got the letter and handed it to him. He said, "Well, this is only 2 or 3 blocks from where I live." He said, "I'm gonna go find that fella. Then I'm coming back for you." And all the time I said, "Here's a newborn soul just born into God, whose vision enters into the real realm of God's power." And I realized that my own spirit had not touched the degree of faith that was in his soul. And I thought, I don't want to do a thing or say one word that will discourage that soul in the least. How many preachers would have said, "Man, you need to calm down here," and that kind of stuff. Lake turned him loose. That boy was full of fire and full of God. Presently, he came back and said, "Brother Lake, come on." We went and found a young man who had been mad from his birth. He was like a wild animal. He wouldn't wear clothes and would smash himself or anybody else with anything that was given to him. He couldn't even have a dish to eat on. But in the center of the enclosure where he was, they had a large stone hollowed out. They put his food on that and let him eat it just like an animal. We tried to catch him, but he was as wild as a lion. He would jump right over my head. Finally, his father said, "You'll never catch him out here." But this time, I realized what the situation meant. I had been somewhat of an athlete in my youth, and I said to Von Schiele, I said, "You get on one side, and if he comes to your side, you'll take care of him. And if he comes to my side, I'll take care of him." Now, beloved, this all sounds strange, I know, but I'll never forget that afternoon as long as I live. As I looked across to the young man, Von Schiele, I could see the lightning flash of faith, and I knew that if he got his hands on that insane child, that devil's got to come out. Presently, he landed on my side of the bed, and in an instant, Von Schiele sprang over the bed, laid his hands on his head, and commanded that devil to come out. In 2 minutes, 2 minutes. That lad was absolutely transformed and was a sane young man. The first moment of sanity he ever knew. Glory to God. That's the power of God. This was a young Christian, never read the Bible. Glory to God. And sometime later, the family moved to another section of the country, so we lost track of him, he said. Oh, my. That's so awesome. One more incident in the man's life will help you to realize this is the power of God that's available to everybody. Everybody. One more incident in man's life will help you to realize this thing. Among the Boer people, especially in the Transvaal, They were a pioneer people. They had moved from Cape Colony and lived among the natives there many years. And finally, they succeeded in establishing their own community and later republic. They didn't have the advantages of good schools. In fact, about the time they passed into the hands of the English, education was becoming a real factor. About the only educated person in the community was the Dutch predicant. And he is a real old aristocrat. The firstborn of houses is the predicant, and everything else likewise. He is the Lord of all he surveys and some more. I believe they were people with all authority that the priests of Ireland exercised over the people there. It's just fleshly authority. And I wanted to leave, Lake says, I wanted to leave you with the conception of a Dutch predicant. And then you can understand how a young fellow, unrecognized as a preacher, is situated when he begins to preach the gospel of Christ in a different manner than the predicant. One day, when Von Schild was conducting a service with a couple of hundred people present, the predicant was there. He arose when he was teaching and told the people that they were being misled, etc., and that these things Von Schild was talking about were only calculated for the days of the apostles. Does that sound familiar? Lord of God. The young man, naturally, if he had been an ordinary young man, would have been somewhat nonplussed, but presently he said, I'll tell you how we'll settle this thing. There's Miss LaRue, whom we all know. She's stone blind in one eye and has been so for 4 years. You come here and I will lay my hands on you and ask the Lord Jesus to make you well. Now this is faith. He's speaking before anything has been done. He's declaring it beforehand. And picking up his Dutch Bible, he said, and when he does, you'll read that chapter, designating the chapter she was to read through her blind eye. God Almighty met the fellow's faith. The woman's eye opened right then. And she stood before that congregation and covering the good eye and read with the eye that had been blind the entire chapter. And I know her well. I had visited at her home a great many times. Now we return to the other young man. The most extraordinary incident that I have known in the life of any other human being, unless it was the history of St. Paul when he was on his way to Damascus, when suddenly they're shown around him. Round about him, a light brighter than the sun. And he says, when we were all fallen to the earth, and they were probably on horseback, Lake says, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Acts 26:14. Kretschmal was visiting one night at the home of some friends. I don't know what that was all about. Sorry about that. Kretschmal was visiting one night at the home of some friends a few doors from my home. And the people, these young people whom he was visiting, had just recently been baptized in the Spirit themselves. And they were very anxious about this friend and had been praying a great deal about it. And this same night, he was in the tabernacle and his friend said, Come down to our home. So he went. These two men, Kretschmal and Von Schild, and were the highest developed men. I believe Kretschmal was physically the strongest man I have ever met. He was an altogether unusual character, and here was a dealing of the Spirit of God such as I have never known with any other individual. After a time, I believe it was suggested that they pray. He was going to stay all night. Harry said, in speaking of it afterward, it was not my custom to kneel. As I sat in my chair, I began to realize that a peculiar power was taking hold of me. And I said, this must be some sort of psychological condition that I'm not familiar with. Anyway, I'll have nothing to do with it. And he sat up in his chair and shut his teeth and endeavored to resist. and the Spirit of God intensified, and he said, "I will not yield." He thought it was the devil. And for 2.5 hours, he sat there while the perspiration poured off his person until there were little pools of perspiration oozing from his shoes. But at the end, as this battle was going on, a voice spoke within him and said, "I am Jesus." And instantly he said, "If you are the Christ, you can do anything you like." And the next moment, the Spirit of God deepened upon him, and he began to speak in tongues by the power of God. And Cratchmall, after that anointing, became the most remarkable preacher of the gospel I have ever known about anything, that I have ever known anything about. He traveled that country from end to end when he didn't have a cent. I met him once when he had no shoes and his feet were cut and bleeding. But he established congregations of Christian people for 350 miles out through the wilderness, bless God. Ooh, glory to God. That is the closeness that God wants of us with him. It makes no difference. What makes the difference is Jesus in us and giving it out to people. That's the love that he wants us to give forth. He said, "I have told you these incidents in order to demonstrate to you that there is a force in Christian life that mankind has not gotten hold of in any great degree. But the thing that interests me most, and I endeavor to present to you the facts of a Christian life, is the inquiry that comes to me day by day from souls whom I deal with in the healing room. How can I enter into the consciousness of the presence and the power of Christ?" That's the real issue in all of our hearts. A lot of times we say, "I want more of you, Lord." And he says, "You got all of me that you're going, that you have. You have everything. I just need you to come to me." That's what he wants. How can I enter into the consciousness of the presence and power of Christ? That's the real issue in all our hearts. We see the thing that was burning in the heart of Nicodemus when he came to Jesus in the nighttime and said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou didst except God be with him." And Jesus, disregarding all that he said this, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." The birth again of God, the conscious incoming of the Spirit of God into the life and being and personality, lifts mankind out of the condition of the professing Christian experience into the place of divine consciousness and power. Is this helping anybody? It is me, man. It's got me tuned up here. Anybody got any comments they want to make? Yeah, I am. You go ahead. You need to unmute.
Yeah, it's just that that last saying, something popped in my head as soon as you said it. It's a verse. Because the last phrase you just said there before you stopped, Michael, is in 1 John 5 and 8. "Because the witnessing ones are three, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree in one." So we are to be this witness. And it so fits in so close to that last thing you just read there, Michael. It's just amazing. that this water of the word, the Holy Spirit of God, and the blood of the Lamb all has a name attached to it also, and we are partakers of that name. And it's just so wonderful. And you know, we can all have that same question, you know, that was questioned there, you know. So I'm just, you know, there's some really good witnessing verses in that chapter five there, you know. 9 and 10, I seem to vaguely remember some things there about those verses there, that the witness is within you and everything. And it's such a wonderful area of the word, and it correlates with the love of God and stuff, that you know, this is like the beginning of the right the some of the books or letters that new Christians read. Maybe that's why they're getting so much good stuff, you know, because they like to. I would tell them, go to James, go to First Peter, Second Peter, First, Second, and Third John, and you get lots of good stuff out of there. But that fifth and even the fourth chapter in John, First John, is so lovely. And I mentioned that because you mentioned Nicodemus, and he was going to give him the two of those, the water and the spirit, but there wasn't going to be any blood for him, was there? Because Jesus, so we tend to forget about before cross and after cross when it comes to born again. That's not the really the best place to go. Maybe it's in Romans chapter 6 or in Ephesians 2:10 or Titus chapter 3, where it talks about the regeneration, because it includes the blood in those three. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that there, if anyone is studying about their born again, you know, there's some really good, that's one good area, you know. But you know, you need the blood, and the blood's in Romans chapter 6, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And of course, created in Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2 and 10. And of course, the regeneration into Jesus Christ in chapter 3 of Titus. So there's three good areas of born again. So, and that witness, it's in you. Because we know what it says in John 19:30. And for those who don't know that phone number, you're going to know it today. And that is, it is finished. So I sometimes, what am I waiting for? Or, because it's got to be me, it's not his problem. It has to be something I'm, you know, you don't want that dial tone where that you're busy, you know. God doesn't have a busy phone, busy. Remember the old landlines? They gave you a busy signal when you phoned your friend. Oh, get off the line. Anyway, you don't get a busy signal, because his is more of a, well, like the screen here, you know. But he gets a really good screenshot. He knows exactly what's in your head at all times. And sometimes it, I think it grieves him for some of the stuff we're thinking about too. And I think we just have to have that imagination fixed up, you know, casting down all those imaginations and every high thing. So praise God. Whatever it might be, you know, it's there. 1930 is there, John. So praise God. Glory to God.
I knew that. I was seeing if y'all saw it. Hey, Anna, you said something the other day that kind of along these same lines, how you deal with sin. You remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
About overcoming sin by imagining the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times if I'm tempted with something, I'll just imagine what would the Lord be looking at me like right now if, you know, he sees the thoughts in my head, and what would be the expression on his face. And that saves me from a lot of sin, because I think, man, like you can imagine the disappointment or the like mostly disappointment, I guess. And if I just imagine that, because I know he's always there, and that really helps me a lot.
Amen. Yeah, that was very down to earth, but it has an impact. If you know that God's watching you every minute, every second, what you gonna do? You know, that's great. That's awesome. Thank you, Anna. Anybody got any more questions or comments? I'm gonna go on here just to, there's a little, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, it almost seems like there's some sort of shyness or something. Maybe that's it. I don't know. You're too shy to
Sure.
go out, or, you know, he's saying, go, go. We're too shy. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Lake goes on, he said, there is a consciousness that seems to me, by the word of God and by my own personal experience, to be possessed where any individual can enter into the direct presence of God and receive the baptism of the Spirit. That is the consciousness of sinlessness, the consciousness that your sins are gone. I think a lot of times we dwell on our past too much about the sins we have committed, and that hinders our walk with the Lord. You can classify sin in any way you like. There's this much about it that in our own inner soul, we know that sin is offensive to God because it's offensive to our own spirit. So, as I said before, the consciousness of sinlessness seems to be God's requirement for those who would seek the baptism of the Spirit. Indeed, I remembered my own experience when my heart began to be stirred along this line, and I definitely began to seek God for the baptism of the Spirit, and He did it for about a year. That as the illumination of the purity and holiness of God began to dawn over my soul, instead of going on boldly, there was an inclination to draw back as I realized the awful extreme between my own heart and the heart of God. And I was compelled to cry out, not once, but 1,000 times, Lord God, by the divine process of God, cleanse my soul from this condition. And I remember, bless God, how that one night I was present in a friend's home. An ordinary meeting was going on, conducted by a little Quaker woman. But she outlined what seemed to me to be the method of cleansing my soul. And that night, as I knelt in Fred Bosworth's home, that consciousness of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ went through my being, and I realized something of what I never realized before, that the battle between my spirit and my soul had ceased, and that God reigned not only in my spirit, but in my flesh too. The war that had been in my spirit for years was all gone, and I entered into Beulah land. And I really felt that I had crossed the Jordan and everything was new. And I tell you, beloved, that the external evidence of God and the power of His Spirit, no matter how wonderful, are a small matter compared with the consciousness of the Word of God in the human heart, in your heart and mine, bless God. Glory to God. Y'all remember him experiencing the infilling of the Holy Spirit? When the power of God came on him, and him and another man came by his house, picked him up to go pray for this old lady that had arthritis. Y'all remember that? And he got over there, and he was sitting in a chair, and he'd been asking God for a year or so. He'd walk down the streets and just cry out, and people would look at him like he was nuts. And he'd cry out to God, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And he'd go down and do that. And then one time, I think it might have been Bosworth. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of his good buddies. Called on him and asked him to come follow him, go with him to pray for this lady that had rheumatoid arthritis. She was in a wheelchair. He said, okay, I'll go. And he was sitting in a chair, and the other guy was kneeling down with the lady, and he was praying for and praying for, and all of a sudden, Lake said, it was like rain from the glory of God just went through my whole being. He said it started in my head and it went all the way through my toes. He said it was the most glorious feeling. He said the power of God was so powerful in my body. He said I almost couldn't stand it, but he said it felt good, but it's almost unbearable. And he said, I knew if I touched that lady with my hand, it'd blow her head off. He said, I had to take my finger. He said, I had to take my head. I just wanted to take my finger and touch her. I knew if I touched her with my finger, it'd heal her and probably wouldn't kill her. So he walked over there, and the other guy was on the floor, and he had his hands on this woman's knee or leg or something, and he was praying for her. And Lake touched that lady, and it knocked Bosworth halfway across the room. The power went out through that lady, and she jumped up, and she was healed completely, man. And such a powerful, powerful demonstration of God's power through him. And that was awesome. And that's the power that he's given us. That's the power he's given us. Why do you think that we don't see that today? Can I tell you what I think? I'm going to do that after Andrew tells me. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just want to say that the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16 and all those six or five items that they talk about there in the mystery of godliness, 3:16, okay. Of course, it's John 3:16 too. If you can put both, there's quite a few good 3:16s, I'll tell you. There's one in Ephesians too, I'm telling you. And that mystery of godliness, but if you compare, if you kind of collate that with the verse there in 2 Peter chapter 1, since his divine power has given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, and now you got this mystery of godliness over there in 1 Timothy 3:16. Man, it so collates so well. And I know those are all the words, but that's what I think he was experiencing, the mystery of godliness. And that's why it was kind of a mystery to him. And he even spoke of it as if it was a mystery when he wanted to point his finger, And that's just so wonderful that was it always that way with Jesus though? What he was when he was there like that, Like Jesus probably had to think of ways to maybe get this transferred, like maybe I can't touch him now because I'll just make some clay paste for his eyes and I'll tell him to go wash him out. And anyway, I don't know how to put it or whether he got that narrative from God himself or something, but it's just so wonderful, that I could I was just like picturing him in that room there wherever he was doing this with that woman and doing that with his, and I can see the guy flying across the room and I'm going, God would, I don't think he was hurt or anything when he flew across the room. But God took care of it. He just said, because of the just that little bit, what if he did put his whole or do too much, I don't know. So of course, I don't know if because we're shy or we're bashful and some people blow at the clouds in the sky and they kind of walk away and go blow at the clouds because they're kind of shy. And it clears the sky, and then of course they go back home and they said, Dad, you blew too hard, the trees are knocked over. That's David Eales, one of his stories there. Anyway, I just don't know if it's a feeling or he must have felt something because he felt this godliness coming upon him. And I guess it's just so right when God just takes care of it all and uses you that way. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. The great thing about the whole gospel, the whole gospel, is that the power is there for every one of us. It's for all of us. It's what you do with it. Do you believe it? Do you trust God to back you up? Listen to what Blake says. He said, "I'll tell you, beloved, that the external evidences of God and the power of His Spirit, no matter how wonderful, are a small matter compared with the consciousness of the Word of God in the human heart, in your heart and mind," he said. In the 14th chapter of John, there's this one verse. While Jesus was discussing this subject with the disciples, he said, "He is with you. This is the Comforter. He is with you and shall be in you." John 14, 17. There is a definite possession of the Spirit of God by which the individual becomes the conscious possessor of the Spirit of God. Indeed, the Word of God puts it in this forceful manner. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is in you, which is in you?" It's in your temple. This is the temple. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. That's where it is. It's God's purpose as outlined by Jesus Christ and this word from cover to cover, that man shall be the conscious possessor of the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus up to the right hand of the Father from hell. Glory to God. Woo! That's what a real Christian is. That's the thing that has been lacking in the church, even now, throughout the centuries past. It was that consciousness of God's presence and God's power in the disciples and the church of the first centuries that wrote across the pages of history the wonderful, wonderful record of Christianity of the first 400 years. There were 30 million Christian martyrs, those who were slaughtered in the Christian wars. 30 million gave up their lives for Christ. There was a spirit that made it so intense, so powerful, that had such a power of induction that the world had to get out, bless God. But there came a day when the church traded the communion of the Holy Ghost for the smile of the world. And then the long, long night of the middle centuries followed. He's talking about the Middle Ages, where it was dead religion. But bless God, he says, "I tell you, we are living in a day," and we are right now, "and an hour when the Spirit of God has come into the world afresh, when the consciousness of mankind is opening up to God in a manner that has never opened before. There's an awakening in the world from ocean to ocean, from pole to pole, as there never was before. And I believe, bless God, that God Almighty's outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh is at hand." Glory to God. Woo! That's revival time. How many of you know that's revival time when the glory of God comes down and the glory of the spirit of repentance comes down and envelops the hearts of the lost? And I believe, bless God, that God's almighty outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh is at hand. And though we are receiving the droppings and our hearts are being warmed under the impulse of the Spirit, the day is not too far distant when the flame of God will catch the soul of mankind. And the church of the latter day will close this era with a place of divine glory excelling that of the early church. Glory to God. Going to have a double anointing because they have given up their life to Christ completely, surrendered everything to Him. And that's according to the prophecy of the Word of God. He said, if the former rain was abundant, shall not the latter rain be more abundant? Oh, yeah. If the disciples, without the train of Christian history behind them that you and I have, were able to enter into the divine consciousness and power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that they left a stamp upon Christianity, how much more shall men and women who have the advantage of 2,000 years of Christian record enter into a diviner consciousness than ever that the apostles possessed? We're going to see it. We're going to see people who have given everything up for whatever it is that you need. I mean, that he needs for us to carry on this revival. The eternal God hath ordained that mankind being united with him as one heart and as one soul. That's where we're all going to come into the same thing. We're going to be like one heart going out, one body going out. That's where the power comes from. The eternal God hath ordained that mankind, being united with him as one heart and as one soul, shall glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in manifesting his life and character and his person and being. And if then God's purpose for mankind is to receive the Christ, shall we not yield ourselves, body and soul and spirit, to the conscious control of the Spirit of God and let him manifest in himself in us in humbleness and meekness, bowing lowly at the feet of him whose we are and whom we serve? We've got to be humble. You have to be humble. We'll get humbleness by reading and studying the Word of God. The Sanctification Before Blessing, that's a good book. It's a good book. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a living heart, loving heart, awakened by kindness, chords that were broke will vibrate once more. And here's his prayer. This is the last part of it. Our God, we ask you tonight that your almighty power shall be upon each soul, and that as we endeavor to yield ourselves to you for the conscious cleansing of our nature from sin and its effects, your power shall lift us into that consciousness of oneness with God, whereby from your soul to our crown will flow the divine unction of God, that we, being cleansed from sin, may manifest God to mankind, so that the hungry world and dying race and wandering world may be brought back into the oneness with God. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Father, for cleansing our hearts of all things that are against you, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We all want to be as close as we can get, and we can get as close as we want. It's up to us. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for your help and your grace and your mercy upon us to help us out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This man was... he was just a new Christian, but he wanted all of God, and God gave him all he had. He was ready to go to battle for God with this demon-possessed boy. Glory to God, glory to God. Okay, anybody else? Whew. I'll tell you something. I get excited when I get to thinking about this end time, a revival that's coming. Because you know what? We all are striving to be more like Jesus every day. I know that, you know, some of us, sometimes we keep thinking about the old sins that we had, and it kind of keeps us back a little bit. We've got to quit that. Step forward, look up, look forward, don't look back. That's what Jesus said. Look at me, look at me. He said, look at me, always look at me. Forget the behind. You're always stepping forward. And just believe that God's going to care. And that's what he's talking about when he talks about you can declare a thing and believe it's going to happen. You can declare a thing as long as it's Christ, you know, it's in the Word of God. You can do that. I declare my wife healed right now in Jesus' name. I declare the DNA restoration that you promised me, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, that I'm looking for her to walk in any day and start cleaning the house and washing my clothes, cooking my dinner. Lord of God. No, and worshiping you, Lord, worshiping you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to say or add or confess? I confess that I've been distracted too much. And Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. And I thank you, Father, that with your grace and your mercy, we'll all be ready when the time comes. And I declare and decree everybody in here will be ready when the time comes. In Jesus' name. And I believe that, Lord, that your power, the power that you have through us, will enable us to be that way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whew. Lord, I'm looking for revival to break out most any time. All right, anybody else wants talk a while? I'm sitting here. Oh, there's a lot of activity on this thing. Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
It's Anna.
Okay, Anna.
Could I share a song, Michael?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I was like, Lord, the Lord's been wanting putting this on my heart for a while, and I was like, Lord, if you want me to share this, then have Michael say something about condemnation again, and you did, about leaving the past behind and everything. So here we go. Let me put
Okay.
the lyrics in the chat here real quick.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da. All right, so bear with me. Barbara, I hope you're not too disappointed. You said the other day that I had a nice voice, but I gotta tell you, it's actually the soundboard that Chuck put in. Makes everybody sound really nice. So, anyways, thank you, Lord. It's all for you, Lord. So, okay. They labeled her worthy of death, but Jesus said, "You are not condemned. Go that way, don't sin again. I'm not done with you yet." In Gethsemane, he turned and fled, denied his name in the face of death. But go tell him I live again, and I'm not done with you yet. So leave the past, 'cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and by faith see his face. Drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet. Labels you had, you can't forget. They've been cast into the depth. You are redeemed, chosen, elect. God's not done with you yet. 'Cause who and what you were is dead. Believe in all that Jesus said. You're forgiven and you're born again. God's not done with you yet. So leave the past, 'cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and by faith see his face. Drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet. The old things have passed away. Behold, he makes all things new. Jesus left the past in the grave, and that is what he wants from you. So leave the past, 'cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and my face is face. Drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sorry, I was nervous.
Sounded good. You didn't sound nervous at all. That was good. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's play for Angelica's sister in the name of Jesus right now. I'll come against these. Nope, she doesn't have any broken ribs in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. They're not broken and not even bruised. We thank you, Father, that she is completely healed in Jesus' name. We declare and decree healing in her body right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. No bruises, no nothing. And we thank you and we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for that you would get the glory too, that she would praise God for you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I command those demonic entities that would be driving any of them right now in Jesus' name. Excitement, go in Jesus' name. Fear, go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your faith that is already taking over in that family right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Sandy, you are healed and whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we all are in agreement with her. Nothing broken. The bruising healed. She's fully healed from head to toe. And Lord, we thank you that this is a testimony to Angelica's mother of your love and your power to save the one who believes. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. It's done. Y'all believe it? Sandy's healed. Glory to God. Sandy's healed. And I thank you, Lord, for your touch upon her mind too,
Amen.
in Jesus' name, that she is back regular in her mind again, in Jesus' name. Demon, take your hands off of her. We bind every action that you come against her in Jesus' name, and she is healed, whole, and delivered this day from now on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. All right, it is done. Anybody else want to got anything they want to share? Nothing? After all that talking I did, an encouraging idea? Oh, help me, Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I feel the spirit doing something with me anyway. I know that he's coming on, and it's kind of like when you're kneading dough, it's like the spreading of the rolling pin on top of you, and it's kind of cringing me inside and stuff. So that's the way it feels right now for me, and it was really powerful sometimes too. So I really he's doing something with me. Praise God.
He's doing
Glory to
something with
God.
all of us. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise God.
Yeah, you guys can have some of this too,
Yeah,
anytime.
amen. I'll take it.
It's from the Lord.
Yes,
Praise
it is.
God.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Glory to
Praise
God.
God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, a lot of well, I'll save that for later. Okay. Anybody else got some encouraging words? How many of you would love to know that when you go up and pray for somebody for healing, that God would heal them right then? Just start doing it. It'll happen. I ain't lying. That's the way you do it. You just go and do it. You see somebody that needs help? That's what Jesus said. That's the compassion he had on people. Glory to God, he loved people. He loved us. He went to the cross for us so that we could help him. There's a bunch of us out here that can help and bring the kingdom of God to earth because of who is in us, like we were talking about a while ago. The power of the Almighty God is available to each and every one of us. And what's interesting about it, if you first do it, God will be with you. He knows that you're jittery and you're nervous about doing something like that. He'll be with you. He'll heal them just to show you that he will. And then the next time you say, oh, he did it last time, he'll do it now. Glory to God, and then he'll be with you the whole time. Every time. Every time. Wham. Bam. And people get healed. Then the next thing you know, you'll be hearing in Walmart, aisle 8 for deaf people right now. Aisle 14, eyesight. Yeah. I believe that's going to happen in some of them. Go ahead, Judith. I think you had your hand up. Oh, Missy, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You have probably heard me share this before, but in brief, I've said, if God will fix, or however you want to put it, heal a chainsaw, how much more will he not heal our bodies? Because years ago when I was in Tennessee, when I lived there for just a year and 9 months, there was a guy that had a chainsaw that wasn't working and he couldn't get it started. And I was off from a distance, and I knew I could see enough to know that he was having problems. So when I went around, I almost walked by him, and the Lord kept saying, "Go over there, go over there." And I knew if I didn't go over there, I was gonna either get spanked or just so regret that I didn't, because it was just like the Lord wouldn't let me go on it. But long story short, that chainsaw started, and the guy looked at me like I was crazy. But I think he was happy he didn't have to take it back to the shop and get another one or something. But that's pretty cool. And even since then, the Lord was reminding me the other day of things like that, that he was fixed for me and stuff, we're more important than things to him. He loves us. We're made, it's like when you realize that, he made me according to his in his image, according to his likeness, and he died to give me such an inheritance, give me everything that he is, and then all the blessings, all the promises are mine. And I was just sitting here thinking of one of the things that the Lord did. I was sitting here one night on the outreach, and we were having a bad storm. It was raining really hard, and I kept hearing this noise, and I'm like, "What is that noise?" And I didn't see what it was, but here there was coming from one of the beams here, there drip, drip, and this was like 3 years ago or so now. And I think I don't quite remember, but I think I might have said for the angel to go fix it. It might have been when we were just coming into to really realizing what the angels do for us. I realized, that when we pray for something, when we pray about something, ask, believe for healing or something to be fixed, it's the angels that go and do it. And for the longest time, I didn't know that. I didn't understand that, you know. And in reality, you don't have to tell the angel to go and do it. You just command it, you know. But it's the, you know, I realized it's the angels that do it, you know, because they are ministering spirits for us, you know, for me. But anyway, so I commanded that to stop dripping. It wasn't dripping real bad, but it was dripping, and I command, and it's never dripped since then. It stopped, and it's never dripped since then. And that just so tickles me when I think about that, you know. And yeah, I mean, he loves us. He loves us because all these things that we see that, you know, just the cares of this life, but we gotta have them for now, you know. You know, it's like, I need a house, I need a covering, you know. The Lord promised to supply me with all my needs, you know, and that's everything. I've been reading the Real Good News again, and I'm just getting supercharged again, and you know, faith built up more than what it ever has, you know. And it's just awesome. He loves me, he loves us. He's given everything for us. If he gives his son, is given his son for us, how much more will he not give us all things? You know, he gave us the ultimate sacrifice. God's, know, no bars hold. Ask, you know, not to spend it on your pleasures, we know, but you know. And sometimes, you know, we get disappointed. I get disappointed when it didn't, you know, it didn't, you know, the Lord didn't answer the way I wanted him to, or not in my timing, you know. And but you know, that kind of thing used to bother me, that, you know, something didn't happen when I thought the Lord had put in my heart or whatever. And I don't think it's necessarily I don't take that really as condemnation. It's just like the Lord's saying, I'm answering, just not in your timing, you know. You believe it's already done, Missy, but it's not as soon as you want. You know, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day, you know. It's like, oh, sorry, Lord, but sometimes I hate that. Because it's like, you know, it's like with us, you know, with me, it's like, you know, now it's like a, you know, sometimes I feel like a little child. I want it now, you know. Well, I just gotta believe it, see the end from the beginning, just like the Lord does, and just believing that he has the perfect plan, and that he perfects that which concerns me. My God perfects that which concerns me. And he's a good father, and he will do it in perfect timing, because like the show says, the title of that old show, Father Knows Best. You know, he does. I mean, the real Father, the Heavenly Father. And so, Father, just help us to always rejoice. Help us to always rejoice, no matter what, Lord, because you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know, when we ask for something, believing we have received, in reality, I realize it's not just about me, because it's not just about my specific request, but there's other things that involve that answer too. And there's other people lots of times that are involved in me getting the answer to my prayer. So he's just working everything, he's meshing everything together, you know. And he's just, there's nothing too hard. You know, sometimes I think about that. Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee, great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. He's the God that made the heavens and the earth. I mean, for crying out loud, there's nothing he can't do. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Okay, I'm done. That was my little unexpected, blah, blah, blah. But thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Missy.
I want to pray. I want to pray for Sister Katie. You all just would agree. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Katie. I thank you, Lord, for the trials that you're allowing her to go through. I praise you, Lord, for the testimonies that you've already given our sister and the things she's overcome in this world. And thank you, Lord, that she is being tested. Her faith is being tried. She's going through fires right now, and she's dealing with a lot of oppression. And I thank you, Lord, that you would encourage her and strengthen her soul, give her your peace, help her to see the light in the darkness, and help her, Lord, not listen to the voices coming at her. Well-meaning people who love her and care about her are trying to get her to go to the arm of the flesh and going to the doctors to find out what the problem is. And she know I know in her I know believe with her, Lord, that that's not her desire, and she doesn't want to go that route because it's spiritual, it's demonic. There's not physically anything wrong. They're still not going to find anything wrong, even if she would go to appease them. But Lord, I pray that you will give her a boldness to confess you before man and shut these enemies up, because you said if we confess you before man, you will confess us before our Father, your Father, and the holy angels. And I thank you, Lord, when that's done, she's going to have a manifestation and an awesome testimony. So we bind all fear of man, all doubt, unbelief, uncertainty, worry, anxiety, stress, how she's going to sound or how she's going to look or whatever. But she would just boldly confess, I'm healed and I'm fine. And all this is just a test for me, and it's all going to pass. But God says, I'm healed, so I am. Whatever words you give her, Lord, that you'll honor her faith and you'll give her the grace to go through this and endure to the end. And that we know and believe and stand with Katie that she is healed. And this demonic attack of pain, and every one of you have to go in the name of Jesus. You've been commanded. You don't have a choice. You must bow the knee in the name of Jesus Christ. She's our sister. She's part of the body of Christ. And you have no authority there in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her an awesome testimony and putting the stuff behind her. As she overcomes this fear, she overcomes the fear of pain, she overcomes the fear of man and all of this manipulation the enemy's trying to do in her mind. In Jesus' name, that she'll stand firm. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord
Thank
Jesus.
you. Thank
Amen.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay, I got some more prayer requests here. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and cast out all witchcraft curses against Angelica's mom and sister. And I praise you, Father, that every curse spoken against this family be cast down as null and void right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we praise you, Father, for your shield of protection around this family against all the curses that are might or have been spoken against them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We send the angels up there right now to cast out all curses spoken against them in Jesus' name and shield them from any more from this point on. And also for Angelica too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. It's done. Y'all believe it? They're protected by God's grace. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you that every person in this fellowship and who will be listening later, that you would infuse them with the power of God when the time is right, and that they seek you with all of their heart and surrender every ounce of the world and the flesh to you, Father, because they want you more than they want the flesh or the world. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. And I thank you, Father, that it is being done even as we speak. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon it to show us, like Anna was talking about a while ago, that you're always with us. Not only are you with us, you watch us and you help us and you lead us and you guide us to be overcomers of the world and the flesh. And Father, we praise you. We thank you that we are walking, talking Jesus's from this point on, in Jesus' name. And Lord, that we would be so conscious of you in our lives that we would walk like you and have the compassion that you did, the love that you did. And Lord, we know that the shortest way to go straight to God is a continual exercise of love and doing all things for his sake. And I praise you, Father, for helping us to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The way we get closer to you is not more of you, it's less of us that gets us closer. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. You're a mighty God. And we are so in love with you, Lord, that we want to give it all up for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for helping us do that. And Lord, place it in our minds and in our spirits not to look back at our past failures, that we always look forward to Jesus in Jesus' name. No condemnation, only faith. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Okay, I do too. Thank you,
Can I
Jesus.
pray, Michael?
Yes, sir, you may.
Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for the privilege we have as Jesus in our lives, Jesus working in us, through us, that we're part of a kingdom. We're all a new creation. Lord, thank you, Lord, for not taking this for granted, but believing and trusting and walking in faith each day, Lord. We bless you, we praise you. Honor you and all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Joe. Okay. Did y'all see the lyrics over there that did y'all read the lyrics that Anna put in or Matthew put in there? I guess it was Anna. You ought to read them. They're not. I'd copy them, turn them out if I was y'all. That's good. I'll
Draw
just read them
us,
right.
Lord.
Yeah, go
Draw
ahead and
us.
read them, Julie.
Oh, I can do that. I was just saying, draw us, Lord, is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was saying. Draw us, Lord. We'll run after you. That's a
Again.
song, you know.
Yeah, that's a good song. The old things have passed away. Behold, he makes all things new. Jesus left the past in the grave. That's what he wants from you. That's the last course or bridge. Did y'all hear that? That's good. That's a good song. That's got some good words in it. Good lyrics. Y'all be blessed, yeah. God bless you. We'll see you. What is today? This is Tuesday. We'll see you Thursday night, God willing. We don't have an EBS type of thing. Let's see. Wait a minute. I don't want to do that. I want to do this.